Welcome to the Unstoppable Leadership Spotlight, influential leaders and their game-changing insights. I'm Jacqueline Stominger, CEO and founder of Leap to Your Success. That's leaptoyoursuccess.com. We help entrepreneurs, leaders, and CEOs grow their business, become unstoppable high achievers in their careers and life, gaining that 1% edge. We believe every professional has the power within them to leap to their greatest success that not only will impact their life, but the lives of the people they touch. So stick around to the end of the show and we will share with you how you can be our next guest. So stick around for those 15 to 20 minutes and let's be unstoppable. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another amazing episode of the Unstoppable Leadership Spotlight podcast. I am your host, Jacqueline Strominger, and on this podcast, we hear from amazing leaders and their game-changing insights on how we can make better leaders. Leadership drives the companies, that drives the people, and if we can have happier people, we could end up with a happier world. So today, I want to welcome my amazing guest, Arnold Bacus, and let me just give you a little bit about background on him, and we'll dive into his amazing work that he's doing. But he is a pioneering work in innovation His pioneering work in innovation is a fusion between service, design, learning, sports, technology, and psychology. He has extensive global innovation experience as a corporate executive, as a consultant, and as a startup founder. And he has designed and implemented new products and services and business models and technology and strategies. And he has an amazing new company called Brain Gym Fitness, where we get to be a little bit smarter and be better leaders. And one of the other key things that we talked about beforehand is getting rid of the fear in companies, because fear is limiting. So Arnold, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Jacqueline. Happy to be here.
So we were talking beforehand. You right now are in Romania. We've talked a little bit about the world, but tell us a little bit about how you got to Brain Gym Fitness.
Yeah, I call it Brain Fitness. My website is called braingym.fitness.
Yeah.
But it's like, people know what body fitness is, and to keep your body, well, functioning well, or even if you're an elite sportsman, you want to improve your body, you want to make it perform at a higher level. But something related to brain fitness doesn't exist. So there is the preventive part, because just like with your body, you need to keep it moving. Otherwise, when you are becoming older age, a lot of things stop functioning, or, well, at least in a very limited way. the same is absolutely true for your brain. If you do nothing, it will decline. Yeah? And that's why a lot of people are currently having problems with dementia, Parkinson, Alzheimer type of problems. That is kind of a preventive point of view. So that is what I tackle. But mainly the thing is like optimizing people's brain and upgrading people's brain, because I'm 200% convinced that many, many people have much potential which they are not using.
Yeah.
And if you do brain fitness, you can unlock your potential. That's where I help people with.
So we are obviously not talking about games on our phone.
No.
So talk to us a little bit about and share, like, what are some of the things that you that help people with preventative side to have, to keep their brains moving?
Well, the main thing is that you work on something which has purpose, which has complexity, and which is challenging for you.
And so when you were thinking about this, like, because we were talking a little bit too, you know, about having purpose and complexity, how do you relate that back to, you know, companies and leadership? Because, you know, as you shared, you know, before this show started, we were talking about treating people like people, and you've done that in a corporation. So how does that relate?
Well, what I found out is that a lot of companies have their own mission, vision, purpose. They have a statement. Sometimes they put it in a nice frame on the wall. And in a lot of cases, that's about it. There's not much happening with it, but it's like, yeah, if you ask, yeah, we have it. What was it already? It's this. So it's not a living thing. But what I found out when I got myself out of the corporate world and into entrepreneurship is like, hey, it's interesting. Companies have a purpose statement, whatever, but I don't. Because in a corporation, that's not asked of you. It's just asked, is like you obey and you do exactly what we tell you to do. But who you are, what you want in life, what you love, where you're good at, we don't care. We hired you to do this job, and that's it.
It's so important to find out. So when, you know, what the individual's purpose is. So how did you incorporate that into incorporate that into what you were doing? And how did you take that into the entrepreneurial space?
Well, it did. Where I came up, because people have many definitions of purpose and mission and strategy and whatever. To make it extra confusing, I used a word which is not used so much, and I call it my quest.
Ooh, that is a word that's not used very often.
Yeah. And if it's not that, I create words because then people pay attention. And my quest is how the invisible drives the visible.
Ooh.
And what I found out throughout my life, but especially in business, is that it's not the things which are visible, is like the words, your actions, what you do. We qualify by people like what they say, what they do, and then we think it's that. But in a lot of cases, what they do and say is not who they are, and it's not what they mean. Mm-hmm. It's just to play the game. So it's like an iceberg. You get the top of the iceberg, or the part of the iceberg which is above the water, that's what you see, but 9/10 of the iceberg is below the water. And the wind and the current, that drives the direction. And you think what you say and do drives the direction. Well, forget about it. It's the invisible part which drives everything. And that is true with people. Let me give you an example. When I worked for KLM, Royal Dutch Airlines, I came out directly out of, well, I worked at the IT department of KLM, but I came out of a IT company, Digital Equipment Corporation, for the US people, you understand. And I there was at some point in time an organizational change. Well, while I was in the American company, with every quarter an organizational change, so that for me that was nothing new. But for these guys, well, are we going to change? It's like 5 years ago we had a change. So like I said, are you kidding me? Yeah. So it like, no, I'm not kidding. It's 5 years ago, and I'm like, huh? So anyway, we went ahead with a change, and then I asked some people, I managed then 800 people, and I asked some people, hey, are you ready for the change? Did you prepare? Do you know what to do? Whatever. And then one guy, he was a middle manager, and he was very honest, and he said, yes, of course, everything is ready. I know what to do, whatever. I changed the name of my department. And I said, and? He said, I keep on doing what I've been doing for 25 years, and that's it. So I'm not making this up. And he was not trying to be funny or whatever. It was just like, I changed the name of my department and I say, yes, yes. And I just keep on doing whatever. That is what I call the iceberg. It's like your words are saying something else than what's going on inside of you.
Right, right. That's so true. And so I'm curious, so what transpired with that? I mean, like, did he keep doing what he was doing and how did the change go? Like,
well, what he didn't know is is that
he
I
lost his job.
Yeah, well, I obviously challenged him to adapt and to change and to do these things, yeah? Which was not happening because it was then, but I believe it still is, a extremely hierarchical environment, meaning that he wouldn't, like I said, I managed 800 people. So I got a management team, and below there was a management team, and there were team leaders, and then came those guys. And normally, they would never talk directly to a person of my level. So they were not used that I always reverse things, and I would talk people on the work floor. Yeah, and that's because that's where it's happening. And when you talk there, you know what's going on and what's happening. But nobody did it. So he didn't really understand what my position was. But it's like, well, we never talk to those guys. We never see them.
But it's so important, right? It's so important that the upper management sees the people that are doing the work. I mean, you hear all those amazing stories of CEOs who walk the corridors of the people that are doing the work so they get out of their golden dome, so to speak, and get to know the people. And it does, when they get to know the people in your fold, it elevates everybody up because they're like, oh, I met Arnold and Arnold is this, right? And it totally elevates people up.
Yeah, and then it's like I said, everybody has potential. Everybody has ideas how to improve things. Everybody has ideas what's not working. And if you ask them, but how would you do it? They give you 4, 5, 6, 7 ideas how to improve it. And if you implement those ideas, you have no problem at all with any change initiative or whatever. Because people say, yeah, of course, we should have done this 10 years ago.
Right. Right. So Arnold, talk a little bit about, because you know you share this and it's about what you're talking about right now too, but how does brain, you know, how does the brain fitness or brain gym relate back to helping companies look at people as people and getting their potential, pulling their potential out?
Well, what people are doing in management practices, in leadership practices, it's what they're taught. And most of the stuff is being copied. So everything what they're doing is the same as 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 30 years ago. It's exactly the same. Yeah, I've been for 25 years out of the corporate world. I can start tomorrow and nothing has changed. So it's always the same approach, but the approach is fear-based. The approach is like, how can we control you? Yeah. So it like, as long as you do exactly what I tell you, and I warn you, if you don't, you will get laid off or you won't get promoted, whatever. It's all based on fear and control. And that means that people won't come up with exciting ideas. They won't come up with new insights. They won't do something extra. It's like, I must do this, and I'm assured that I don't make any failure. So everything becomes very average. Everything becomes very mediocre. What I do is, so people are put in what I call invisible straitjackets. We are all wearing invisible straitjackets. You know what a straitjacket is? Yes. Yeah, so,
yeah, right. We can't move, right?
Yeah, but it's like these white coats where your arms or whatever, and you can do nothing by itself. When I ask people, it's like, have you seen the Olympics last year in Paris? Yeah, yes, I've seen it. I said, how many of the sportsmen or women who won a gold medal did wear a straitjacket? That's a stupid question. And like, nobody, of course nobody. Yeah, so why are you wearing a straight jacket while you go to work? Why are you wearing a straight jacket when you're in a relationship, in your marriage, with your friends, in towards your parents? And we all have these invisible straight jackets. And we think it's normal. It's like, you know, we always look at the faults you make, your failures, your mistakes. That's where we focus on. But we don't focus on what did Jacqueline do right? Where's she good at? What is Jacqueline left to do? Oh, shall we use that? Instead of saying, Jacqueline, you should be doing this, and if it's not good, you can forget about your promotion. Oh, huh?
You know, it's interesting. You know, it's so true because, you know, when people are in those straitjackets, it's like I'm going to keep on pressing the red button, right? Or whatever. I'm going to keep pressing the button. And they don't think about, oh, there might be another way to do that, right? When we're living in that fear zone, I want to stay in that my lane because I don't want to be the disruptor or be the change agent because I don't want to lose my job. I want to be there. And we stop looking at it from the standpoint of what's the upward mobility and how can I help, you know, when leaders stop looking at it, like my goal as a leader is to really figure out if Arnold's in my team, how can I help him rise up? How can I help him reach whatever potential? We forget that. We forget that that's, you know, as a leader, it's kind of what we're supposed to be doing, right?
Yes, because it's quite simple. If your people grow, you grow. Yeah? And if you grow, your company grows. So in essence, it's very simple. But we, in most things in our life, in our work, in our society, we don't question things. We think we've been doing this for maybe hundreds or decades of years. And we think it's normal. And we don't question it. It's like, oh, should we do something else? Yeah, I'm an old guy. Yeah? So if we're talking about the 80s, I was put in a first line management program for 1 year, yeah, in order to become from a specialist a first line manager. There, they learned me how you should do performance reviews and give feedback. But the feedback is like, yeah, it's a sandwich method. Yeah, you got to tell two things criticizing, then one thing good, and then two things criticizing. That is the right approach. Oh, okay. Well, I was really good at criticizing because my father nonstop criticized everything in my life. Yeah? So he never, ever gave me a compliment. I'm not kidding. He never did. So I was like, oh, that's easy. No, but I got to give one thing which is good. Yeah? That is still done to this very day. Yeah? So,
right.
But nobody gets excited about the criticism. And let me give you a small example. I was in this American company the first year. I was a marketing specialist. Then I became a marketing manager. And I had my first performance review. Before that, I came from a small company. And there was no reviews, whatever. There was nothing. So here it was like, so I was nervous because I had this performance review meeting with the marketing manager. It was 1 hour meeting. I still vividly remember where it was, where I sat, where he sat, and whatever. For 50 minutes, he was talking about very tiny and small things which were not good. Like, this should be done there. This, you could have done this in that way. And if you did it like this, it would be this. And it was for 50 minutes. So I was like, I'm getting fired. Seriously, that is what I thought. It's like, this is really bad, man. And you have to know, I have a master in law. So I was like, ooh, this is going to be tricky. It's like, not good. Then after 50 minutes, he said, yeah, I get your rating and your salary. Your rating is UER. UER stands for usually exceeds requirements. Huh? That's good, isn't it? Yeah, hardly anyone gets it. So in my first year, I get the UER. I'm like, huh? But you just criticized me to the bone for the first 50 minutes. Yeah, and by the way, I get a salary raise. I believe it was 11%. I was totally confused. Yeah. But and this is my real experience. That's why, because it had such a deep experience. I can still explain it. And this was in the 80s. Yeah, so it's like, I'm like, but this is what we do to the very day. It's like we constantly criticize, and then we say one tiny thing where they did good, and that's the way it is. What if we reverse it? I say, Jacqueline, this is what you do good. You seem to like this, and you have talent in this, and you handle that very good. And you're like, oh, I feel good. Yeah? And then it's like, by the way, there's some small thing. Is like, if you change that, you will be even much better. Oh, cool.
And right. And so when you pump somebody up and they feel like, and you share that, they get pumped up, and then they're going to want to do that small thing that's whatever to make that change. And they're going to be like, oh my God, they're going to feel better. They're going to be that positive excitement of like coming into work. So it's so true. And so leaders and listening to this is so important. Like this, if you could do one thing, if you take away one thing from this, you know, podcast, think about ways that you can pump up your team members and share the good things, because it's going to actually create the positive interactions in our brain and give us, you know, it's almost like the endorphin rush, right? And it's going to help your employees. And I hate the word employees. It's going to help your team members.
Yeah, but it also creates a much nicer culture and atmosphere, and is it's going to be fun instead of like, you know, what's a sign of a terrible culture? If people ask you on Monday, what are you going to do the weekend? It's like, dude, it's Monday. I love it. We're going to start it. I have no clue about the weekend. It's like, yeah, but it's like, oh, I hate it so much. It's like, oh, I'm looking forward to next Saturday. Yeah? But
that's right. Morning drudgery.
I invite people to say, go use public transport, the train, the bus, where you see how people look when they go to their work. Yeah. It's like they're going to an operation in a hospital. It's not like, hey, I see my friends, my colleagues, we have this really cool project. They're like, oh, I love doing this. And oh, I want to do this and this and this. Yeah. It's like, how many people are doing that?
Right. You know, it's so true. That's why, you know, I think it's so important that what you're doing and what you're sharing, because if we can, and why, you know, what this podcast is all about is if we can create better leaders, then that person goes from the company, they go out, when they go buy their coffee or they're on the train, they're going to smile. And that means that they're going to have a better interaction with the other people that are around them. You know, it's like, you know, as you just said, the excitement of getting on that train on Monday morning and taking public transportation, and you have a smile on your face, and there's a guy that is driving the public transportation, and you smile at him, even a smile, it's going to make his day better. So it really, it's the things that we want, the tentacles that we want to spread out. So yeah, it makes a huge shape.
The families of those
and
people.
The family, right.
Yeah, it like they got children, they got a wife, a husband. It's like, my father was a military officer, and at home he was even worse. So it's like, so when there was something, it's like we all would sense, is like, oh, did he have a good day today or not? And if he had a bad day, we had to be very careful. We always had to be, but then it was like, oh, that's not good. If I had, in his eyes, not a good grade at school, I didn't mention it. I didn't have the courage, because he would be extremely, extremely angry. It's like, I would say it another time when he was in a better mood. But it's like, if he would come home, it's like, oh, it's such a nice day, and we did this and that and that. It's like, whole atmosphere at home is totally different.
Right. Yeah, it's a huge difference. So, Arnold, I could talk to you forever about this, because this is such a huge topic, and it means so much to me. How can people connect with you and find you and learn more about you?
Well, it's very simple. I have a website called braingym.fitness. And there I have, I basically, very simple, two products. I have a masterclass, which are videos, 90-minute videos around a specific topic, like your uniqueness, relationships, aging, curiosity. So that's what you can find there. And the main thing is my 15-week training program called From Fitting In to Flying Out. You have 15 sessions of 90 minutes each. Yeah, and then in the week in between, you can learn and grow and apply what I taught you in things. So that's my training program. You can sign up there. If you still have any question, there's even a link to my agenda. You can book half an hour with me and we can have a discussion. Braingym.fitness.
So braingym.fitness. Okay, so leaders, reach out and connect with Arnold. Go to braingym.fitness and really, truly connect. I mean, this is so important. You know, if you want to have a game changer in your company, reach out to Arnold. I want to thank you all for listening to the Unstoppable Leadership Spotlight podcast. If you have enjoyed this episode, please hit the subscribe. If you have gotten a tidbit that you think is really amazing, which I'm sure you have, please share this also with your friends and colleagues. And thank you, Arnold, for being an amazing guest. And thank you, listeners, for being part of the Unstoppable Leadership community. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Jacqueline Strominger, and I want to thank you so much for listening to the Unstoppable Leadership Spotlight, Influential Leaders and Their Game-Changing Insights podcast. If you are a successful CEO, entrepreneur, or leader in your industry, and you have insights you would like to share, we want you to be a guest on this program. So please visit go.leaptoyoursuccess.com/podcast. And if you have gotten something out of this interview and you'd like to share the episode on social media, just go ahead and take a screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on socials. If you know somebody who would be a great guest, please tag them on social media and let them know about the show and include the hashtag Unstoppable Leadership Spotlight. I love seeing your posts and your guest suggestions. So we regularly are putting out new episodes and content. So please make sure you don't miss any episodes and go ahead and hit subscribe. Your thumbs up. Ratings and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and they mean so much to me and my team. You want to know more about the podcast or about Leap to Your Success? Just go to the website leaptoyoursuccess.com or follow me, Jacqueline Strominger, on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. Just plug in my name, Jacqueline, that's J-A-C-L-Y-N, Strominger, Strominger, and follow me on all the socials. So thank you so much for listening, and remember, be unstoppable.